The lost sheep of the house of Israel were the people who were at that time commonly understood to be the Jews, and still are. You know, and I know people are foaming at me. Well, what about the people who were carried north? Well, according to the scriptures, they would be left few in number among the heathen, where they would be scattered. So the relationship of those people to the ancient Israelites would be, their descendants would be extremely diluted. And also, what is the big deal about that? Why is it important to us now? It isn't. It was important then because to them was the promise. To now, the promise is to those who have heard the gospel. But the promise to them was to those who were under the covenant of the Old Testament and Moses' law. And cast off Israel, who was no better than heathen, would not even be considered Israel, because God had said in the book of Hosea, "You are not my people." And that's how he looks at Israel now. Oh, not my people. It's true. But he will call them his people again. It has been prophesied. But for the Christian, you know, they go not to the Gentiles. But later on, they do go to the Gentiles, don't they? So this was for a limited time. You know, and in chapter 11, they go out and they actually do what he says, right? And then they come back. And he's, you know, what happened? So they went to the lost sheep of Israel, but they didn't travel far because they weren't far. The lost sheep of the house of Israel were the children of Judah. They were lost sheep in that they were lost without the truth. They were as sheep without a shepherd, scattered abroad. In verse 36 of chapter 9, that's what he's referring back to. They're lost in the sense that they don't have a shepherd. And he had pity on them. To say this refers to something other than that is really getting away from what he's saying here. When they went, they didn't go to Northern Europe. Not until after Christ died and the way of the Gentiles was prepared that they should enter in. Verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. It is drawn nigh. It is now present with you. Why? Because the king, you know, can the children of the bridegroom mourn while the bridegroom is yet with them? The king was present. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was there. And so the kingdom of heaven was come. And to testify to this, they were given power to perform miracles of healing and raising the dead, cleansing lepers, casting out devils, evil spirits. Freely have you received, freely give. Do not charge. You know, I didn't charge you. Say, okay, you want to be my disciples? The tuition is 50 shekels of silver. You know, God taught me something in the scripture. You know, can you imagine me putting my Bible studies out and saying, Bible study course, 1995, an hour, a book, or whatever. You know, but there's a lot of Bibles, you know, the funny thing is, people value it more when you charge for it, though. It's true. Oh, it's free. Must not be very good. It's free. Must not be worth anything. Well, I received it freely, so I give it freely. If you don't think it's worth anything, then it is worth nothing to you. What good is a, you know, that's the thing, is I could take a Bible study course that was pay, and it'd be worthless to me. Because it didn't benefit me. And if this doesn't benefit you, then it is worthless to you. There's no profit in it. It's not worth anything. You know, he says, don't take gold or silver or brass in your purses. Don't bring, the purses was girdles. And there'd be little pockets, you know, for carrying money and so on and so forth. It's not a purse, because the purse is the scrip. The scrip was a bag. And there was an inscription, a Greek inscription, where the scrip is used of a bag used for collecting money. There was an inscription in ancient Greek where it showed a servant of a particular goddess had gone forth and collected some bags, and the same word of bags, scrip, were bags of money, which he had collected, scripts of money. So don't take that with you. So on this journey, you know, some people say, oh, you should never collect money. Well, what it's saying is everyone who has a ministry receives gifts. Remember, he said, don't take any money with you and don't bring something to collect money, meaning something special to collect money in. You're like, oh, here's the money collecting basket. It's a special basket just for collecting money. You know, don't bring coats. Don't bring two coats, like an extra or an extra pair of shoes. You know, the whole thing is like you're not a carpet bagger. I like that idea because, you know, where you're carrying a bag, I've got my stuff in here. I got my suitcase. I'm a well-prepared guy. You go out like as you are with your coat on your back. Don't bring your extra stuff in your pockets, right? I mean, this is not a prepared ministry. The idea is you go forth having nothing but the power of God and trusting in God to take you where the Spirit wills. For the workman is worthy of his meat, of his food. He that works is worthy of what he gets for his work. And that God would provide for them. You know, a lot of this stuff begs the question, Paul, why doesn't this go on anymore? You know, as it says in 2 Peter, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue since they have since the foundation of the world. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the miracles? Where is all this? You know, why don't Christians sell all they have and follow Christ like he asked people to do when he was alive? It goes back to what he said to the disciples of John. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away, and then shall they fast, and then they shall carry swords, and then they shall need to take gold. The ministry has obviously changed since Christ left. If you're a believer, you must acknowledge it has changed. Oh, but we have miracles in our church, yeah. But anyone who's honest knows it's not like it used to be. Mm-mm. Not like when Christ was here, or even when the apostles were around. The, you know, and those miracle ministries are just shams. The men who perform them are charlatans. You know, using psychology and so on and so forth, and what other manner of things they do. You know, I don't go into that darkness to try to figure out, well, how do they do? I know there are people who explore that in their right books, how they manipulate the consciousness of the masses and so on and so forth. And some people think of Jesus in those terms. You know, because there's a singular time, right, in the time of the Gospels when all these miracles are going on, and then what? They just stop?